KIW iRadio 76 proudly presents the 515 Show with your host, John Sarver. Who's at the 515 door today?
I'm telling you, it is... It's one of those wonderful days. I can hardly wait to get into it because a three-time visitor here at the 515, so good we have her at the 415, a rare, rare treat for us to have her on this early. Matter of fact, left work early to come be with us. Carrie Ann Beebe of Beebe Motorsports, how are you?
I am well, thank you. And yourself?
Safe. That's more than a lot of folks can say. How has this racing season been for you? You've been out yet?
Oh, yeah. We've been to Georgia. We've run one race at Milan, and we've been to Columbus.
Recently?
Yeah, we went to Columbus 2 weeks ago, and Milan was the first weekend in June.
How normally, when would you been starting to race? When was your season?
Well, the Georgia race in February was always on the books. And then for local racing, our first race would have been in May in Milan.
Wow.
So right now I'm only one race behind with the opportunity to go out of state for other races.
You know, I almost am embarrassed to ask you this, but for the folks who are just joining us for the first time, you race
a 1968 Chevelle.
And your class is?
Limited drag radial.
And who was the last one to hit the home run in Tiger Stadium?
I have no idea.
It's Robert Fick, but you know how many people know that? Mrs. Fick and Robert Fick. That's about it. Those are the only two that did. We are so glad you're with us, only because... It's an interesting perspective that you bring so many times.
Oh, thank you.
But it is even more unique now because I'm sure people really want to know, how is it like racing in 2020?
The three races I've been to, February was just like any other race.
Yeah.
And... June in Milan, spectators were not allowed, but you could have crew members, and they did not limit you on the number of crew members. So I don't know that we completely noticed a difference. And then for Columbus, it seemed just, we were given a sheet when we came in the door that just asked us if at all, put your piece of, instead of face-to-face contact, right, putting your, turning in a waiver, they just ask you to put it in a bucket.
That's scientific enough. Okay.
Well, it reduced the face-to-face contact.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. Oh, that's smart. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's funny how going to different tracks and talking to the owners and stuff like that, how creative they have to get with a whole lot of stuff.
Right.
You know, and so when it comes to the racing side, because it's you, your husband, and that's all in the truck, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Well, no, we have a crew of 4 to 6 people.
That's what I said. You, your husband, and the crew.
Right.
Are going racing. It's got to be unique on your side. I mean, are folks going, when you get in, are they scanning the heads or how are they doing that?
No, I have not had my temperature taken at any track.
Wow. So it's just hop on. If you didn't know it was 2020 and not a whole lot of folks in the stand, would you know it was 2020?
Well, I have seen a few people at the tracks wearing masks. Other than that, just low spectator count, really. And I would just wonder why, why the low spectator.
Yeah. I think you're the very first racer that we ever had that was conscious of how many people were in the stands.
Well, it's not so much. I mean,
it's not a bad thing.
The spectators tend to walk around a lot.
Mm.
And so you get a lot of people in the pits too, in between rounds.
Yeah.
And in June, we did not see a lot of that at Milan, but there were full fields in all classes, so it didn't keep the racers away.
Yeah, I mean, people are, they want to go. They've been chomping at the bit, let's go, let's go, let's go. And I think one of the best things were because you already had a race underneath your belt.
You know, yeah, that helped a lot.
Yeah, how so? I mean, because you were ready, the heads were on the car, you were ready, you already tested it, tuned, and went, right?
Yeah, so going to Georgia is a pretty big deal. It takes a little over a day to get there, pretty much.
And yeah.
You're there for 3-4 days, and you're racing, with lack of a better word, the big dogs. And so you learn a lot, and you get a lot of things dialed in. And then you spend what we thought was going to be just a few months of downtime before the May race, but we were ready for it because we already knew what to expect with the car for the new year. And then when May didn't happen, we said, oh, okay, well, how much longer will this go on? But then we got the call that the June race was going to happen. It was just going to be sans spectators.
Yeah.
So,
and then away we go, because we've seen, have you seen more participation car-wise this year? Or is it about the same?
Well, I mean, the June race, we had full fields in almost every class. And so I don't know who stayed away or who was new to coming, but it was nice to see full fields.
Mm-hmm.
I know we were concerned whether or not it would keep people away.
Yeah, because it was almost like the fire alarm, because it was nothing, nothing, nothing this week, guys. And it's like, ooh, I don't have my heads on. Ooh, I don't have the carburetor ready. You know?
Right.
Because people that thought, well, maybe we wouldn't have a season, but my God, did it burst.
Yeah, and I mean, I know there have been some races that have been canceled, but then there's others that have continued on, and I think I've seen some of the grudge stuff add new races that may or may not have already been on the books, but it just seems that now it is starting to take off.
Yeah, it seems like there's a small scramble because of Norwalk. You know?
Yeah, there aren't any races at Norwalk that we run. We've gone there for test and tune, but they don't hold, now that Shakedown is gone, we don't run any heads-up programs there. But it was nice to go there and tune, because it's a great track and a great surface.
Yeah,
and it is a shame to see that he had to make that decision.
Have you seen any other track do that?
Route 66 did it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Okay, so now that doesn't. How much is that? I was going to say that doesn't really jar your season, does it? I mean, kind of does, kind of doesn't.
Not my season personally, no, because we did not have any races on for those two tracks.
Yeah.
We weren't looking to go to those two tracks to race.
So where are you going to go this year?
We'll focus on the Milan Heads Up Series, which is run the first Friday of every month.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a Nitrous Shootout that's held once a month in Columbus. Now, I think we're going to try to make one more of those. And then I believe we're going to try to go to something at 131. And then just periodically, there's a race at Dragway 42. So it just, as they pop up, if our calendar allows for it, then we'll head on out.
Are you going to do a full schedule this year?
No, because a full schedule for us is for sure the 6 Milan heads-up races. And one of those have already been cut out. So we'll run the remaining five. But then from there, our schedule has always been just whatever we can afford to or have time, vacation time, crew time, things like that.
Right. Now, everybody that we've talked to and said, I mean, track owners are ahead of the curve this time around. Nobody got caught napping. I mean, the tracks are very well prepped this year. It's not like, you know, they were like, whoops, well, we didn't get anything done in May, and so we got to catch up. I was surprised to see how fast all tracks snapped to it.
Well, I think that they paid attention to what was going on and, you know, said, what can we do to bring, what, how do we change our business mold to yeah. fit what's going on?
Yeah. All right. Before we leave.
Yes.
And I know that we, every time you're on, we get to this point, and every single time we miss the story about the pacer.
Oh, okay.
And that's job one. And it was job one on the very first wonderful time that you came on with us. And we have the picture up here in that Google thing that you can talk to, and it does sync talk back to you, but you can put pictures on it. And there's the picture of it that comes up occasionally. And people always ask, what's that? Because they think it's Photoshopped. And it's not. Carrie Ann actually won on that. Tell us, how did you find that thing? We got 1,000 questions to ask you, so we'll go from the top. How did you get that ride or get into that ride?
So my Chevelle, the motor was out, was being repaired. I had gotten a ticket for the Pink Salt out in Norwalk, and the ticket is specific to the driver, not the car. And
what year was this, Carrie?
We were going to have to give it up. Friend of ours came to us and said, "Hey, got this pacer. It's going to be in Hot Rod Magazine. Why don't you take it to Norwalk? You know, if anything, you're just going to park it at the end of the trailer. People are going to come by and say, 'Hey, isn't that the pacer that's in Hot Rod Magazine?' Why, yes, yes, it is. And then you can talk to people." So it was right around Woodward Dream Cruise. Mm-hmm. Friend says, "Well, I'm going to take it down to the Dream Cruise. And you come pick it up from my house on Thursday and head to Norwalk." So he actually brought it to the house Thursday. I drove it to the gas station, put gas in it, drove it home. We loaded it up in the trailer and drove to Norwalk.
Wow.
That's how I got it.
That's an amazing thing. Now, obviously, a friend of yours, not somebody that would just walk up and go, "I see that you do extremely well in drag racing. Won't you please take my car for a spin?"
No, a long-time friend of my husband's.
How did he come? Is he a fabricator? What is he?
No, he just a guy who bought it. He bought it, had it redone. You know, the story is that he had a cage put in it.
Yeah.
Had the motor put in it. It was a four-seater, and he had the two seats removed and put on a golf cart. So he had a golf cart made to look exactly like the Pacer.
Okay.
Which was crazy. But he's a friend who
sure.
buys and sells cars, and he just bought this one and he doesn't do any of the work, had all this work done and got it into Hot Rod Magazine. I don't know how you do that. And then that was it.
All right. For those who have not come to the CKIWI Radio 76 Studio A, which we are broadcasting live from right now with Carrie Ann Beebe of Beebe Motorsport, The motor that's in this Pacer is not the inline six that it came from Kenosha.
No, it was a LS motor out of a Corvette.
Yeah. And let me tell you, how many stares did you get?
Well, I had a lot of people asking me what kind of, and this was you got to figure this is 2010. This is long before LS motors. I mean,
yeah,
it was the beginning of this curve of everybody putting LS motors in. So that was a to do. Yeah, you know, everybody said, "Oh, that doesn't look like the motor that would have come in there." No, I'm.
I hope you hit him with a water balloon. No, sir, it's factory stock. Sure it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad on gas.
Yeah. You know, but there was the original analog clock in the dash was still
really?
In the car. There was a, you remember those bubble compasses? That
yeah.
They still had that in there. So, I mean, there were some really cool features that he had left in the car, or the fabricator had left in the car.
Yeah.
And that was really cool.
Go ahead.
It's an ugly car.
It is. And we, you know, the more that everybody looks at it, and the more they go, if Carrie Ann went more than 17s in that thing, how did that handle going down?
Oh, it was a great ride, and it went
really?
10-20s. Yeah, it was a consistent 10-20 car, and it was straight, smooth, all the way down. I mean, it was 10-20s, but, you know, what are you going to do?
It's a Pacer.
Yeah?
It's not the most aerodynamic vehicle we've ever seen in our life.
Nope, but I had no issues driving it, no issues with it going down the track. It was, I mean, it was really a smooth, nice, easy car to drive.
And it fascinates everybody here. I wish we could take credit for the car. It's only because who looks at a Pacer and you go, you know, it's nice, but wouldn't a V8 look more nicer in there? And wouldn't a cage look nice in there? And maybe we should tub that. Yes, let's.
Yeah, you know, and the friend of ours, you know, when people asked him, well, why'd you do that? He'd always reply,
why not? Yeah. That's
insane. So he just did it to do it.
And 10-second, I don't remember seeing tanks in there. Were there? They'd have to almost be.
No, that was all motor.
Wow, all motor.
Mm-hmm.
And it hooked and went.
Yeah, every time.
It's an amazing, because you take a look at the body style, and I mean, hats off to whoever did the fabrication. You know,
agreed, absolutely.
Because that thing should have got squirrely.
Never.
That is an amazing, with all that glass, and it looks like you're almost pushing air.
Yeah, never had an issue. Never got sideways. Never stuttered. Nothing. It was smooth as you would believe. I mean, it was crazy.
I am surprised that more people didn't come running down the pits with cameras.
We got a lot of attention.
Yeah, I would assume you did. How many rounds did you go?
All of them. I won.
So that would have been that day.
Well, so let's see. Friday they let you do two passes. And then Saturday you did a pass. And then they announced the 32-car field.
Right.
So then from 32 down to 1. Not very good with the math. But
that's okay.
From a 32-car field.
You did lots.
Down to the winner.
Yeah. That's incredible. I mean, that was with arm drop and everything, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I had, don't get me wrong, I'm not a street racer. I never have been. So I had never even heard of the concept of an arm drop and had never raced using an arm drop. So
in a Pacer.
when we knew we were going, my husband said, "You need to watch this TV show."
Yeah.
You need to understand what's going on. And so I don't know, about a week before the show or before the filming, I watched a few episodes of the show just to get an idea of what the heck an arm drop was.
He points at you, he points at the other guy, one arm up, two arms down, and
yeah.
Go. And how do you cheat that besides watching his shoulder?
Yeah, I don't know. Because, I mean, that was the first time I'd ever done that.
Yeah. I mean, if I am not mistaken, because we were there that day. Matter of fact, we were racing. But it was filled to capacity. That place was, you couldn't find a seat.
Yeah, that place was packed.
Yeah, I mean, we remember going down the dirt road to go into the place, you know, and it was like, okay, where are we? And then, you know, everybody thought that this promotion was going to go on forever. You know, and unfortunately it didn't, whatever thingy went on, you know.
Right.
But still, what a story. I mean, and especially to have this car. Oh, my God, I'm surprised you had any time to race as opposed to people want to take, you know, a few minutes to get you on camera and say, do it again.
Yeah, well, once the 32-car field started, you were not allowed to leave the lanes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So once they chose the 32 cars, you had, I think it was like 15 minutes from the time they called your number to be in the 32-car field to get to the lanes. And everything you would ever need to be in the lanes to race had to come with you. Fuel, all of it.
Really?
And then they told you once you went down the track, you had to come up the return road, and then either they released you, or you had to stay in the staging lanes. And it's funny because sometime during the night, I had to use the restroom. And they give you a producer. You got to, like, I think it was at 16 cars.
Yeah.
They gave everybody a producer. It was just a person. It was like your go-to person.
Sure, yeah.
And I went to this person and said, hey.
Seriously.
I have got to use the bathroom. And they said, we can't let you. And I said, like, why?
Options?
Well, they were concerned about cheating and everything. And I said, look, you can come with me. I have got to go. And they said, I'm sorry, we cannot. And so
I
spent the rest of the night. And so like I remember the very first thing somebody asked me after I won, what are you going to do? I said, I need to use the restroom.
And how many hours were you in this agony?
It was all day. It was all day.
Look what you did for the sport. I'm telling you, Carrie Ann, you should get a trophy just for that alone. You know, for what? An iron person. Normally you would have said Iron Man, but not anymore. Way to go. I mean, how can you cheat? What part of cheating did they think was going to happen?
Yeah, you know, and it's been so long. I mean, the person who was the person, you know, responsible for me, however you want to phrase it, super nice person and very understanding of the dilemma.
Yeah.
But, you know, had to work within a set of rules. And I get that. And so there was, you just suck it up. You just, you know.
I don't mean to laugh, but it's like that is like the predicament to be in because everybody's watching you. You have something to do, but you have somewhere to go.
Right.
I mean, I'm amazed. I'm trying to think of, you know, like you're going to have some kind of performance enhancer in the restroom. What?
Well, lighter
weight?
I never ask, what is it you expect me to do in the restroom other than use it? But and it was because I think it came down to the attitude of the person I was dealing with. They were super nice.
Yeah.
And it was just, I'm sorry, my hands are tied, this is the rules. And you know, once you get into it, you kind of forget. Until you get a little bit of downtime and they're like, oh yeah, gotta go.
Yeah. Yeah, and really, especially because you took it all, I'm sure they wanted to talk to you right afterward. Oh, mercy. You know, oh, man. But still, what a story, Carrie. I mean, all 360, so I know that I think Pink's was paying out that day, and then you made it to the TV show, right?
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yep. Uh-huh.
You know, and all that time, especially when you're going into, you know, the great eight, you know, the last eight of you, then you get a lot of camera time. Now, everybody who's listening to this show, and then when we put it to the podcast, look at Carrie's expression on her face the last couple of rounds. Oh, you poor woman.
Yeah, you know, and the crazy thing was is that they put more cameras in every round because, I mean, every round there's less cars, so they need more in-car cam. And so every time I kept telling them, don't put more cameras in my car. You're just going to have to take them out. And I was always feeling so bad for these people. And I'm like, you're just going to have to take them out. I'm really sorry. Because I was not prepared to win.
Yeah.
I had this borrowed car that I had never driven before. Where would you expect me to win and take it all?
In a Pacer.
So,
yeah,
I mean, honestly, I'd never even heard of a Pacer before that. I'm sorry, it just wasn't a car I was familiar with. And so, you know, I just kept telling the camera people, oh, you know, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. And then, you know, you'd go another round and you'd go another round. And so that was definitely. And then I would like to just not, I mean, it's not something that you see on the show,
sure.
But I gave half of that money to the owner of the car.
Ah, that's nice.
Well, it was his car.
Yeah, but it was doing nothing but sitting until you expertly drove it to the number one slot.
No, I mean, he drove it. He had taken it to Milan and gotten a few pictures of it at Milan. He'd driven it, you know, he'd just done Woodward Dream Cruise, you know, but it was his car. And without his generosity, I would have never have been able to do any of that.
Here's one. Derek from, what is this? Berenson, New York, asked Carrie Ann, will she drive my Gremlin and give me half?
Yeah, if that's...
Yeah, what you got in the Gremlin, dude. I mean, you're not an AMC racer. I mean, you are for that day.
I'll drive whatever you give me.
That is an amazing story because folks who know media or see it, and you're right, every round, because now they have to get more footage, and
right.
What a story. How many female drivers were in the top eight?
One.
Yeah, and we're talking to her. Okay. And so here's the story. And so with everybody with their Camaros and Mustangs and whatever, here is a Pacer.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe, because they'd had those Jimmy Jib cameras that were on those booms, you know, especially around the guy in the starting line. You know,
yeah.
And those cameras are flying around everywhere. I can't imagine how that wouldn't be distracting somehow.
No, I mean, once I get in the car, my job is to drive the car, not mug for the cameras. I just, the cameras are just there at that point. I don't think about them, don't look at them.
That was almost before the GoPro time, so how long did it take them? How many cameras did they finally end up putting in the cars, if any?
Well, there were a couple on the bars, like one in front of you. Like, I don't know, three or four, plus the lights.
Lights?
Yeah, well, like light bars to run the cameras.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I remember there being light bars.
Wow. And then this is, they have to hurry up between rounds because you got to go.
What? There was a lot of time between rounds.
A lot of time between rounds, and somebody couldn't walk you to powder your nose.
No, that's okay.
Oh, God, that would drive me even more nuts. But when all those cameras were coming, did they ever try? Because you see some of these things, especially on the Outlaw TV shows, where there's like all this, you know, you hear a noise and Carrie hurries up and looks back. She has a shocked expression and they fade to black. And then they go to commercial. Then they come back and their shocked expression is somebody's walking with a Slurpee nearby. Okay. And nothing happened. Were they trying to gin up any kind of drama or something with you?
Well, you know, we tried to stay out of that, to be honest with you. But when it got down to me and the other person, so the final two people.
Yeah.
We thought that the drama they were going to try to get was the person in the finals with me was driving a 68 Chevelle.
Oh, ooh.
And so we honestly, because they kept asking us, where's your car? Why isn't it here? And so they kept focusing on my car, the Chevelle.
Yeah.
And so we thought that the drama they were going to put into the episode was, oh, look at this poor girl. She drives a 68 Chevelle, but it's broke. And now she's running this Pacer. But look what she has to run in the final, a 68 Chevelle. Can she overcome the drama? And they never mentioned that once in the show. Not once.
Really?
Yep. So the whole time we thought they were building up this drama to the show is going to go. Oh, she's got a 68 Chevelle, but she can't drive it. And here she is with a Pacer. That's not what they did at all. Not at all.
Well, you were thinking that they were going, wouldn't she rather be driving that 68 that's back at home? That's her original ride. She's got to use this substitute. Is she looking over there longingly at that Chevelle?
Yep.
Oh, Lord. Real, yep. Oh, brother.
We really thought that was the drama they were going to portray in the show.
And what was the final angle? I mean, what was the drama that they were trying to build up, if any, if at all?
Well, the drama was with the other driver.
Why?
He had a hose clamp break.
Oops.
And they dragged that out on the show. Oh, my goodness. I think they dragged that out for 10 minutes or something. I mean, it's an hour's show.
A clamp?
A hose clamp.
Okay.
And it was really, there were four of us left when it happened. And they really kept us in the dark. I didn't completely know what was going on with it.
Yeah.
And then they came to me and said, you know, you're set to be the second pair down the track, but he's having an issue. Would you mind being the first pair down the track? I don't care. So
no, so I don't want to be. Okay.
Well, I mean, it don't matter to me.
Yeah.
But so while I was doing my run, they were filming this drama over a hose clamp. And so towards the end of the TV show, that's kind of what they focus on.
Really?
Can he win Pinks All Out after overcoming this hose clamp incident?
A hose clamp, a singular.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And the hose clamp going to what? The radiator?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay, and that takes you how long to take on and take off?
Well, they had to find one.
A hose clamp.
Right.
Okay, well, all right.
So they had to find one and then put it on. And then they, you know, they ask them, oh, what would have happened if you'd gone down the track without the hose clamp?
Oh.
And he says, well, you know, water would have gotten under my tires and it could have been bad.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. But it's a hose clamp.
Producers, let's all get together. We need some drama here. I need angles. Well, we got a bad hose clamp. Got it. Run with it. Okay.
Right. Because other than that, every driver there, super nice, super friendly. No animosity that I knew of.
Yeah.
I didn't have any issues with any of the other drivers. None of them were like, oh, you shouldn't be here. Oh, that's an ugly car. No. I was just there having fun racing.
I would assume that people who actually race would look at the technical marvel that Pacer was, you know, or is, frankly.
I think nobody took me seriously.
Well, like you're a novelty act?
Yes.
All right, woman and a Pacer.
I think it was some of it may have been the gender, but I think some of it came down to, what the heck's this car going to do?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like they gave you a 20-second head start. It's, again, it's not the 199 six-cylinder that was originally in one of those little guys.
Right.
You know, okay. When you saw the final product on TV, did you recognize the day? Did they chop it up so much that it was like, oh, I don't remember that going on. Oh, is that going on? Oh, I didn't remember that. Oh, look at me. My hair looks great.
No. you know what? Other than the fact that the drama that we thought they were going to play out is not what they did.
Yeah.
No, it was, you know, and we've seen it now. I mean, my granddaughter, she's getting to an age where she's like, have you been on TV? You tell her yes. And so we recently watched the episode. And, I mean, we're talking 10 years later. Yeah. I still kind of sit on the edge of my seat, and I know who wins.
She'd call her up and congratulate her? Okay.
Well, you know, it is an intense episode. Did it feel that intense at the time? Yes and no.
On a hose clamp?
Oh, yeah. Well, but, I mean, you're talking, they condensed almost a 10, 12-hour day into an hour.
Or less with the commercials, yeah.
Right. And so, you know, that was interesting. How do you condense all that time into a one-hour show? And then, contrary to what I see and hear on TV shows, they didn't make anybody look to be like a bad guy, a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, there was no racer who had a crew member who was just an absolute jerk that nobody wanted to be around.
Right, yeah. Oh, you see that now on TV because you have to have this ginned-up drama.
Right,
you know, then
right.
You have to have good guy versus bad guy, and then there's always some kind of drama right before they go to commercial, and then you come back and you think they're going to be throwing blows, and the guy just hands them a 9/16. Oh, here it is.
Yeah, and the, you know, on this episode, you know, they cut to commercial just before the finish line, so you're like, oh, who won? And then it comes back and it kind of replays the run, and then you see who wins. So that was pretty much the biggest drama that they do.
It was a different gig. I mean, Pink's All Out was really a cool program, and it's we're sorry that all that stuff had to go on and that it's not with us anymore. Because man, it was putting fannies in the seats.
Oh, it sure was.
You know,
without a doubt.
I mean, it seriously brought back a dormant sport. You know, on the simplest of things, here's a bald-headed guy that's dropping his arms and away you go, and everybody had a great time. I mean, even the driver's meetings they had early that morning, it was pretty cool. You know, and here's the stars of the show, and you can be the star. And you know, talking about stars, our time is just about up. Where can people see you? Where are you going to be next? Where are you going to be this weekend?
We run at Milan Dragway. They're actually having a two-day event, the Heads Up series. So it'll be run Friday night. Gates open at 2, and there's fireworks Friday night. And then on Saturday, gates open at 10, And then, so we'll be running all day Friday and all day Saturday at Milan.
And that should be like a full array of cars, I'm thinking.
There is. As a matter of fact, the reason it's a two-day race is because the 10-5 Outlaw series that runs on the East Coast is coming here to Michigan to run one of their points races.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Really fast cars, really nice cars.
Well, we don't know which one would be faster and nicer than your Chevelle, which is going to be there. Sorry,
yes.
Folks, the Pacer is on block somewhere, I would assume.
Yeah,
gentlemen.
It's been sold off a couple of times that I know of.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Our friend who owned it sold it, one, because he doesn't hold on to cars very much, but two, because every time he went to a car show, the first people would come up to him and say, "Where's the girl who drives this car?"
She's in the trunk.
And he'd have to tell them, "She doesn't own it. I do." Uh-huh, sure.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we saw the movie. All right. So now, if the folks want to see this wonderful Pinks All Out, they can find it on YouTube, right?
Yes. And it's actually called Pinks All Out Cleveland.
Cleveland, okay.
Yeah.
As opposed to Norwalk.
It aired in November of 2010.
God, was it that long ago?
Yes.
Jesus, doesn't seem like that.
No.
All right, 2010, you can go up to, unless she's really concentrating, see BB Motorsport. They can go to your Facebook page, which is,
yes.
I'm thinking the same thing.
BB Motorsports on Facebook.
That's right. You can get T-shirts and hats and sweatshirts and a ride in a Pacer one day. God. And everything else. Carrie, you got to come back on.
Absolutely. I would love to.
You know what we should do? We should just go to your work so you don't have to come over here.
I could come there.
I would need you for the whole day.
I could come sit in studio one day. We could do that.
And autograph that picture, won't you?
I could do that, too.
It is Carrie Ann Beebe of Beebe Motorsports. Come see her this weekend. She'll be at Milan Dragway. She's got a Chevelle. It's kind of green in color. You can't miss it.
That's a fact.
Matter of fact, anybody, listen, here we go. Come see her. She'll be signing autographs. It's only $20. Half the money goes to the guy in the Pacer. God help us. Anyways, Carrie, hang on for just a second, won't you? CKNWI Radio 76 rolls on with Redbone and Come Get Your Love. That close to Bill Alexander coming right up.